In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature.
Welcome back to the Supernatural Creatures and Lore podcast. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And today we are talking about Magog and Gog, which have shown up, at least one of them previously, but this was in season 13 of Supernatural, and Mel has the plot synopsis for us.
Today we are talking about the episode called Good Intentions. This is the 14th episode of season 3, and it originally aired on March 1st, 2018. Jack and Mary, guest star Samantha Smith, managed to escape Michael's clutches and end up finding an ally in the apocalyptic world, Bobby Singer. Meanwhile, Sam, Dean, and Cassiel continue to search for a way to open a breach, not realizing that one of their own may be working against them and costing them precious time.
The apocalypse plotline was going on in this, which I completely forgot about when I started watching this episode. I was never a big fan of that entire drama.
Same.
It just really felt unnecessary.
For me, it kind of fell off whenever they started getting heavily into Bible lore and going away from, you know, the werewolves and, you know, the Wendigo and the creatures.
Werewolves. They never had werewolves on this show. They had people with long fingernails and fangs. It was awful.
You know what I mean, though, rather than short of having Jesus himself.
I don't understand how the show ran for 15 seasons and didn't have a budget enough to do monsters correctly, but I digress.
Very true.
This episode's also got like Donatello and the Enochian tablet and all that stuff in it as well, because it's all about the heaven plotline.
So Gog and Magog are considered primitive humanoid creatures made of rock and sand who became ancient warriors of Algorithm. Albermaic lore.
Yeah, these are two that I'm not too familiar with, other than like there is DC characters called Gog and Magog, and they're central to Gog is at least central to the plotline of Kingdom Come. That's in the news right now a lot because there is a brand new cast audio drama that was released for Kingdom Come. It's the story of the distant future in which Superman has given up and the heroes are all kind of like retired and the new wave of heroes are a bunch of Punisher like violent kids. And then Superman comes back with Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and Batman's a recluse after everyone learned his identity to stop Armageddon after a priest. Yes, more religion. A priest is visited by the Spectre, the righteous hand of God. And given visions of a devastating ending to everything. And once again, Superman has to be the hero to inspire to stop it. This story is heavily told from the perspective of this preacher, who is actually the father of the artist who created Kingdom Come alongside Mark Waid, Alex Ross. There's a documentary that came out last year all about the making of Kingdom Come. And they even got to interview Alex's father, which I think he passed away shortly thereafter. But he was a preacher, and this is a lot. This preacher in the story is based on him. And like I said, they just released a brand new audio drama of Kingdom Come that you can find now.
Audio dramas have gotten really popular lately.
There's a full cast of actors playing Lex Luthor, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and so on and so forth. And it's been pretty well received. I can't wait to give it a listen. Kingdom Come is just a beautiful story.
I was just saying, because I had never seen an audio drama or really paid attention to them before. Like, I listen to audiobooks, but very recently, just over the last year, or two, I've seen multiple audio dramas that are casting, which I've never seen before. Lots of casting calls for them.
Are you applying for them?
No, I'm way too booked.
Oh, well, that's good at least.
Yeah, I can't squeeze in anything else right now.
Our two actors, one of which is Michael Johnson, played Gog. Hold on a second. Was a Canadian actor in he was in Stargate SG-1 a lot. So go on with the lore of Magog. They're from Jewish lore. It's just funny that you mentioned that they are go on with the lore about Magog and Gog. They're from they're
I can
Hebrew
start.
as well.
Yes, I have several different theologies. So Gog and Magog are mentioned in most theologies, unlike most of our creatures in lore. We have Jewish texts, we have Midrashic writings, we have Christian texts, and we have Islamic texts as well. So this is one of those religious moments in supernatural creatures and lore, where this is really widespread, which is so strange considering that I didn't know too much about Gog and Magog previously. So I'll go ahead and start with the Jewish writings. In the book of Ezekiel, it records a series of visions received by the prophet Ezekiel, a priest of Solomon's temple who was among the captives during the Babylonian exile. This exile, he tells his fellow captives, is God's punishment on Israel for turning away, but God will restore his people to Jerusalem when they return to him. After this message of reassurance, in chapters 38 to 39, the Gog oracle tells of how Gog and Magog of his hordes will threaten the restored Israel, but will be destroyed, after which God will establish a new temple and dwell with his people for a period of lasting peace. Here's a quote: "Son of man, direct your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince, leader of Meshech and Tubal, and prophecy concerning him, say, thus said the Lord, behold, I am against you, Gog, the prince, leader of Meshech and Tubal. Persia, Cush, and Put will be with you. Also, Gomer with his troops, and Beth Togarmah from far north with all its troops, the many nations with you." So he's from these guys are from the book of Ezekiel. For the Midrashic writings, the anti-Roman Bar Kokhba revolt in the 2nd century AD. It looked to a human leader as the promised Messiah, but after the failure, Jews began to conceive the messianic age of supernatural terms. First would come a forerunner, the Messiah Ben Joseph, who would defeat Israel's enemies, identified as Gog and Magog, to prepare the way for the Messiah Ben David. Then the dead would rise, divine judgment would be handed out, and the righteous would be rewarded. And for the Christian text, we have from the books of Revelation, chapters 19-11 through 21-8. The book of Revelation, dating back from the end of the 1st century AD, tells us of how Satan is to be imprisoned for 1,000 years, and how on his release he will rally the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to the final battle with Christ and his saints. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive. Oh, I copied that twice. From the Islamic texts, there are two chapters of the Quran, chapter 18, Al-Kahf, and Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, discuss of Gog and Magog. They are supposedly suppressed by Du al-Wanrin, the two-horned one. Having journeyed to the ends of the earth, we meet, quote, a people who scarcely understood a word, who seek his help in building a barrier that will separate them from the people of Yajuj and Majuj, who do great mischief on earth. He agrees to build it for them, but warns them that when the time comes, quote, the last age, God will remove the barrier. And that is my direct lore in concerns to Gog and Magog.
Gog and
It's a
Magog has
mouthful.
not been used very often in any kind of media. It's curious as to why not.
I found it very strange that I had never heard of Gog and Magog, but also I don't read as many comics as I would like to.
It's not just comics, though. There's like very little of them appearing in any kind of like film or TV. This was like a really deep cut for Supernatural to use.
This felt like it came out of left field.
I'm sure if we mentioned Gog and Magog to any kind of like religious historian or priest or rabbi, they would know immediately who they were, just like you can mention Captain America or Spider-Man to me, and I would know immediately, or something even more obscure like Polka Dot Man, and I just, you know, would know everything about him. But it's an incredibly deep cut. There's just very little online about if they've appeared in anything else. There's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of books written about them. Supposedly there was supposed to be some movie coming out with them in the title, but I can't find any real concrete information about it. Even looking on Amazon, there isn't much. There's a novel, and then there's the Antichrist in Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog End Time Alliance, Israel, Russia, and Syria. And then there's references to the last. So there's a book called The Last Days, Volume 12, Gog and Magog, that is supposed to be in development right now.
Really?
Supposedly starring Hugh Grant.
It's fascinating. So, in Supernatural specifically, the powers and abilities of Gog and Magog, they have super strength. When Gog and Magog possessed the immense strength to point that Gog was much more than a match for the fallen seraphim. And then they have invulnerability. They are invulnerable to most things. Immortality. Obviously, since they've existed for thousands of years. But their weaknesses are God-touched weapons. So, according to this, any weapon touched by God or forged by gods can kill them. Angel blades, their swords, Magog's sword, they are vulnerable to magic and drowning. Castiel thought that their species had gone extinct after the flood.
Which species?
Gog and Magog. Just, I guess they are sand and rock creatures. Is that right?
Which again is tying into Hebrew lore is funny considering that they you know that Hebrews have the Golem, which is also a sand and rock creature.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that is all the notes that I have for Gog and Magog, since there's not too much expansion on them.
No, it's pretty much all of the research I saw is exactly that. They don't, again, they're not heavily overly used characters, so there's not a lot of difference in their backstory.
Right.
Not much else to them. Mel, what are you working on coming up
Coming
besides
up,
a certain TV show you were just on?
my next movies are going to be
You're supposed to
Shivers
plug the
Laying All
TV show you
My.
were just on. Wait, stop, go
Oh,
back. You were supposed to plug what the TV show was you were just on.
fabulous. I was on Rhonda Shear's Up all night. It was so much fun getting to be there with Rhonda and Jessa and Tiffany Shepis. They were wonderful.
What was the movie you guys reviewed?
The Last Thanksgiving.
What's that about? I'm not very familiar with that one.
I don't know. I literally watched it last night, and Linnea Quigley is in it, and she's fabulous. And there was a fun dancing scene in a diner. I guess they were cannibalistic.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Up All Night has returned. Rhonda Shear came on Radio of Horror about a month ago to talk about the return of Up All Night. So they've had a Halloween special, Thanksgiving special, and I believe they will have a Christmas special coming up.
Yes.
So But yeah, Rhonda Shear returns to Up All Night after, I think, almost 28 years of it being off USA Network. She did it with Gilbert Godfrey back in the 90s on USA, and it's now back. She's been working in the lingerie industry for a long time because she has a series of like lingerie or bras and stuff, right?
Oh my gosh, and her lingerie line is so comfortable and beautiful.
Don't you have a
I love
shower
her style.
scene in this Up All Night?
I really do. It's my favorite shower scene to date.
But fully clothed, of course, because it's being broadcast on YouTube.
Yes.
I'm sure Mel has some other shower scene that you can find somewhere to watch
I've
if
got
you're
so many.
interested. Okay. So you get the fully clothed conservative shower scene on YouTube. You can find Mel's other shower scenes in some other movie that she did. I believe she's killed shortly after in a few of them.
I have three shower scenes in one of the movies that I did a couple of years ago.
They just kept putting you back in the shower.
There's three different, I have no idea how that happened, but I'm like, okay, I guess this makes sense for what type of movie this is, sure.
For the plot. It's all for the plot now.
Of course.
What is the next monster we're probably going to be covering coming up?
Big Boobenstein. No, that's just a joke. We have the Quarine and Shedim.
We'll be back in December. This episode will be up and around Thanksgiving time, but we'll be back in December with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. I am realizing, of course, we are down to the last few monsters of the show, but I have wanted to cover the Supernatural comic book, which has just recently been released. Issue one is out now. Issue two will be coming out, I believe, at the end of the month. This is the IDW, no, sorry, this is the Dynamite Comics new series. I don't know if this is an ongoing or a mini series, but issue one is out now. At the time of this recording, issue two will just about to land. I like the first issue so far. It definitely takes place in season one, shortly after Jess is killed. So it could possibly take place, I believe, after or before the Wendigo episode.
Yeah, that makes sense to me how it was set up, and they're still seeking John.
Yes, there it's sprinkled throughout by that. Did you have a chance to read it?
I did.
Okay, good. Well, we should do a some coverage of it coming up shortly at the beginning of the year, once there's a couple issues into it. So, and I believe they'll have all sorts of new monsters and things like that too.
Oh, good. I could really use a werewolf.
A better werewolf than we ever got on the show.
Oh my God, I'm so bad.
Mel, where can people find you?
Across the internet at Mel Heflin.
And you can find me on my regular radio show, Radio of Horror, on Sunday nights from 10 to 12. My interview with Rhonda Shear is up on my Radio Horror YouTube channel right now, so you can go over there and check that out. And thank you everyone for tuning in, and have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll be back in December with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's the creature.